Aloha, we'd like to welcome you all to the third meeting of Be Heard Town Hall Meetings. And this is sponsored by KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. What we're going to do is an informal manner, Hawaiian style. We're going to go about in a circle. And could you please state your name too?
Sure. Joan Heller from Lawai. I'm from Kauai, but then I also lived on the mainland, and we're living back here on Kauai again. And my immediate concern, as far as economics, is for the state workers not really knowing what is happening as far as day-to-day kinds of negotiations that are going on. It's kind of where I feel this is a public radio station, so somehow I think that segment of the population needs to share more information to people, and I think the radio station's a good way because it affects, and it's immediate. It's right now that people are being affected. So I would like to know what's happening as far as that issue for the state workers, as far as layoffs and as far as Kauai and what's going on Oahu and with the legislators. So as far as information, I feel that there's not enough coming out, and waiting for it, you know, day to day in the papers is not really enough. And I'd like to see a program that has people. And it's not about arguing, but just giving out information so that the membership, the union workers, along with the legislators, have an access to sharing information, so everyone can kind of see the whole picture. And it's not about just pointing fingers, but just sharing information. So that's one thing I think that needs to be a priority for information distribution.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Don Heacock. I live in Niumalu, just down the street. First of all, we're as Jerry mentioned earlier, we're supposed to be addressing our economic downturn. And I think we need to be clear that we've lived in an unsustainable economy for a long time, and it's dying now. It's changing. We're in a transition between building an old economic system that wasn't sustainable. It caused ecological chaos, sociocultural chaos and inequities. It caused economic inefficiencies. And so we're now trying to design a new economy. I think on the handout that you passed out, KKCR Be Heard, I would suggest just focusing on identifying common concerns and problems. Forget about the unique ones. We should deal with issues that we all agree on and can grasp. The fact that local people can't even afford to live here anymore. Most local people born and raised can't afford to own their own home. People are leaving Hawaii en masse to find jobs and affordable housing. Those are pretty common problems that I think we all agree on. The state of Hawaii, Hawaii Nei, imports $3 billion worth of food a year, $7 billion worth of energy in the form of fossil fuels. If we kept that $10 billion in the state of Hawaii, there would be zero unemployment here. If we produced our own food, our own fiber, our building materials, hardwoods, bamboo, etc., hemp, industrial hemp, we would be a net producer, we would be self-sufficient, and we would even be exporting excess crops that are used by, could be used by everyone nationwide, worldwide for that matter. You mentioned in number three to identify ways to connect resources to problems between neighborhoods and each other. To me, look at our Hawaiian forefathers, brothers and sisters. The Ahupua'a system was vertically integrated watershed resource management for the whole community. It was people, plants, and animals. If you make every watershed sustainable, the whole island is sustainable. You have 100% employment. The basic definition of a sustainable community is everyone has food on the table, a roof over their head, and a job. That should be our goal. We haven't had that kind of an economy since the day before Captain Cook arrived. So we need to, in many ways, look forward by looking back. We need to adopt watershed councils. The state of Oregon has over 350 watershed councils. They appoint their own president, secretary, officers, and the state has appropriated $150 million a year for those watershed councils to use. They can either use it or not use any of it. It's up to the watershed councils, but it's specifically earmarked for them. So I think the basic problem is we've been dealing with the dichotomy of greed versus aloha. It was a dichotomy of a Western civilization, a Western mindset, versus a Hawaiian sustainable concept. And so I really think this economic downturn is a blessing in disguise. And I could go on and on, but the last thing I will say right now is on the 24th of this month is the public meeting on discussing prime ag lands. And I looked through Dr. Kim's report that he did for Poipu and Koloa last night. And what comes to mind first is Albert Einstein's 1937 comment that you can't solve the problems of today with the same thinking that created them. That report is the same thinking that created the problems. We're asking the wrong question. They're talking about prime ag lands being sugar lands that can be irrigated through ditches from water diverted by streams. And they also list cultural or specialty crop lands, the old taro, kulianas. The question they're not answering is which ag lands can provide the most optimal benefits to our watershed communities. Which ag lands are productive, have fertile soil, have abundant water, provide excellent water bird feeding and nesting habitat, and provide all kinds of free ecological services like recycling organic waste, trapping sediment. The answer is the kulianas, the lands that Hawaiians farmed 1,500 years ago. They didn't do that by accident. Those are the prime ag lands. Always were, always will be. So let's re-ask the question. I'll bring that up to Dr. Kim on the 24th. Sorry about the time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leslie, and I'm from Koloa. And I have many of the same concerns that Don has. And I was very impressed, if anybody got to see the last county council meeting, and Rupert Rowe and Randy Wickman did a beautiful job with their demonstration of the overlay on that ahupua, which did sustain a lot of people, including the people in California during the gold rush. And that's all been well documented, and I think we just need to follow the old rules and get back to where things need to be for the good of all. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michaela Boudreau, and I'm from Kalaheo. And I want to thank Don because he said everything that I wanted to say, too, in a very eloquent way. And one thing that I wanted to add was, in looking at economic solutions, I think it's very important not to to really look at the real cost behind something. I know that some people think that the agriculture, the biotech agriculture that goes on in this island is a place where we can get economic fulfillment. And I think that we really need to look at the absolute true cost of that without going on and on and on. But it's definitely there. Thank you.
Sorry. Aloha, George Costa, Director of the Office of Economic Development, and It's been a pleasure and honor to attend these meetings, the last two meetings. And I attended the first two having come prepared to talk about or present what the Office of Economic Development is currently doing, a lot of our projects. And but tonight I came with a different mindset, one to really listen. You know, I spent most of my career in the hotel industry, and you know, I got to become a general manager and at several resorts. And I was able to do so because I was able to listen to a lot of the employees and guests, because they were the ones in the trenches and had the good ideas. And so basically that's my mission tonight, is to listen and to take a lot of notes. I really appreciate what Don said as well. You've succinctly put it. Me being Kanaka Maoli, it's always good to hear about how our ancestors, you know, had the right concept all along, and you know, we've diverted from that, and we need to start refocusing our attention back to that. So I'm here as a humble servant.
Mahalo.
My name is Jimmy Trujillo, and you're listening to KKCR. No. I want to thank you, Jerry, for kind of thinking out of the box in regards to what we can do with our community radio programs and our station. And mahalo to everyone for being here. And I'm really excited about the relationship that KCC and the Hawaiian Studies program here is developing with KKCR to help broaden the impact of our community radio station, as well as promote what's going on here on campus. And back to what both Don and George you know, mentioned in regards to returning to the roots, to returning to some ways that in practice for generations, for eons, have worked and sustained large populations. And this is a goal that I think many people on Kauai now recognize, that we need to sustain our population. And economically, it's recreating, as Don suggested, that our old model has petered out. It's tired. Our natural resources are depleted to such extent that we're suffering. And it's not an economic crisis only. It's an environmental crisis. They're all hand in hand, and we see the relationships. The web of life is intertwined such that there's no denying now. And I'm glad to hear George is here listening. You know, as I think a number of months back, you made a presentation when we invited you with the Kauai Beekeepers Association to talk about the green economy and to talk about what the county and some of the stimulus funds would look like for us here on Kauai. And I do believe that we're positioning ourselves to transition away from this petrodollar agro-industrial complex. And we're recognizing that for sustainability, we take care here, that the welfare and well-being, homeland security means, like Don said, access to good water, access to good land to grow food, you know, secure shelter so that people are, their basic needs are being taken care of. And we also have to recognize that there's a military connection that puts us at risk and doesn't allow for true economic sustainability, because we know that as military might shuffle and move around their little chess pieces on the board, that there's negative unintended consequences. Of course, there's some negative intended consequences, but I won't belabor that point, that we need to comprehensively look at all these systems in place. And one specific thing for us here on campus and for you, George, with your access to other government agencies, recently on another radio station in our community, members of the community were calling our friend Ron Wiley and suggesting, how come we don't have more bus stops? And then the conversation tuned into, how come our kids don't have sheltered bus stops where they're going to be picked up and the parents can drop them off and know that they're not going to be soaking by the time they get to school. And I started thinking about a project that I'd been, you know, with your brother Evan at Kapaa High School and with the Trade Technology Program here and Construction Academy, KCC, and our relationship with the trade unions, that we can model from the high school students working on AutoCAD and design and taking some of these sustainable premises, whether it's Bill Cowran's albizia trees and how we might be able to harvest locally bamboo, alternative building materials for these shelters, and test them out and give them a lifespan and see how well they perform. And we do this with our students and with our apprentices and with our different industry folks that are looking to build our way out of some of these slumps. And part of the answer is being to able to tap into some bigger sources of funding, but also the creativity that exists on the small scale, the opportunity that our high school teachers have working with their students, or our college staff here on campus have in developing relationships with their student body, and then going out into community, whether it's parent-teachers associations or neighborhood associations, and even the business groups, whether it's the Kapaa Rotary or Kapaa Business Association, the Chamber. All of us play a key role in, one, driving sustainability so that it's embraced and practiced, and that we flourish because of that. And so listening to Mayor Carvalho respond to the caller saying, you know what, bus stops, that's a good idea. You know, maybe that would help increase ridership. All these things have a tag and a tie-in, and I think it just requires us to, as Jerry's done with this program, think out of the box. And as George, you were asking your staff, and as Mayor Carvalho is asking his staff, to kind of look at things not from that same old paradigm of how we solve our problems, but really questioning and challenging some of these assumptions, and then broadening our horizons and digging deeper into that tool bag of creativity that we all have. So mahalo, Jerry, for this.
Hello, my name is Joshua Fukino. I grew up in Waimea on the west side, I'm helping Jerry and KKCR start the broadcast over here at Kauai Community College. But I guess my thing is to, if people know about like the issues and stuff, they can actually get involved. I feel like a lot of the younger people are just caught up with trying to just survive, you know, like working two jobs, and some of them trying to go to school at the same time. They just really don't have the time to worry about the bigger picture kind of things and, you know, sustainability when they can hardly, you know, sustain what they're doing now. And just, I guess, just getting more information to them, like with these meetings and stuff, and if they, like, if they know that other people are thinking the same way and having the same struggles, maybe they can, that might force them to just, you know, step back from just themselves and also realize that there might be ways that we can work together, you know, to help the economy and stuff. But I guess I'm just here to make sure that this meeting goes off and we get a lot of good information here. And I just want to take this and use it to maybe start up similar meetings like this with some of our students or faculty even. But that's what I'm here for. So.
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to mention that the Be Heard meetings, one of the plans we have at KKCR is to develop a number of remote broadcast locations around Kauai. And from my perspective and the board and the staff's perspective, we see these Be Heard meetings as kind of an overlay on top of that, where we can, once we have various locations established around Kauai to do remote broadcast, ultimately we can continue to have meetings just like this. And I would really love to you know, maybe set up, work together, and have our next series of these meetings hosted right here at the KCC campus, and actually be able to broadcast it live at that point in time. So it's a real natural kind of next step for us. And so I want to thank you, Joshua, and Dennis, and everybody in the Hawaiian Studies program here for being so enthusiastic and coming up to the station and getting this whole program going with us. So thanks.
Yeah, I'm Lynn McNutt, and I'm one of the staff members at KKCR, and I'm in charge of development. And but I'd like to, like George, I've been to all three meetings. Hey, it's a club, George. I wanted to just mention a couple things that were mentioned at other meetings that I thought you guys might like to hear. One was a suggestion by Bruce Pease about ag land, that releasing some little plots for local farming. So in the ag land discussion on Sunday should be identification of community plots for people to be able to grow their own food. It's the beginning of sustainability, is to grow your own. And another thing that came up was a mention of building codes. Why don't the building codes for the county include at least, as a minimum, solar hot water heaters on every building going in? And why doesn't every big box have a requirement to do as Costco did and put in solar power, which they can feed back to the community? So those were a couple of ideas that were thrown out at previous meetings.
I wasn't expecting to talk. Hi, I'm Pua Rossi Fukino. I'm also a Hawaiian Studies instructor here at KCC. So welcome, all of you. Again, I was only expecting to listen tonight, but it's really encouraging to hear everybody's mana'o, everybody's thoughts about sustainability and the economy and what's going on right now. I know that our chancellor currently is really pushing for more sustainability, and this convocation that we have, I know Jimmy had these great trash cans for food and green, and we're really getting more into this, and I think the students are becoming more aware of sustainability and what they can do to save money while also coming to school and working. And like Josh mentioned, it is kind of hard for some of them because they are working 2 to 3 jobs and coming to school full time. And then even like, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but she mentioned about being a state worker. We're also kind of going through that too, not knowing what's going to happen to us. It's definitely a big concern. So like I said, I'm here to just listen and hear what everybody's thoughts are. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Dakota Wolfchild, and I'm from Kapa'a. And I'd just like to thank KKCR and everybody involved with Be Heard. And I'm really impressed with all of the ideas and concerns that everybody's managed to share. And I share, you know, every single one of them, especially about our pua'as and the fact that we know that we can grow almost everything on here and even export it. I mean, what else do you need? You know, I was going to say the same things. So thank you guys for having it, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, my name is Larry Heller. I'm from the Y, Jones' husband. And I really didn't have anything to say, but I guess I was thinking about it as you were talking, and George was talking from the county, and she was talking about the planning department and some of the county government. They really do need to change their focus and get more into what we need to do, because the planning department's just been too long in the pocket of the developers, and they need to really start to do, like she said, require the photovoltaic or the hot water on the roofs of all buildings and not be a rubber stamp for the developers. That's about all I gotta say. Thanks.
I want to ask, there's something that Joan had brought up in regards to your concerns about the state workers. What are you concerned about in regards to effects, how it will affect the community in regards to the state workers and they're possibly losing the job? Do you have any concerns about how it would affect the community?
The way I look at it is that if the membership and also the residents, not non-union people, do not really know the whole picture and doesn't get any kind of information as far as ongoing you're going to have accusations or you're going to have assumptions where it's not going to be helpful to resolve and come to a really good kind of a resolution to help the issue. What I'm saying is that when people don't have information, then how are you supposed to come and make a decision on you know, someone in the family or an auntie's position with the state or a friend, and what can you do to even carry on a discussion if you know nothing? So I feel the radio station needs to get information out because then that way the discussion can be fair and I guess it's just what I'm saying is we can't even understand what people are going through if we don't even know what's going on, let alone the people who are involved, if they don't get information also from their company or not company, but from this, you know, the management. How are they supposed to make or decide what kind of action to take? So I'm just saying I feel for them. I'm not with the state, but I just think there's lots of issues, especially I hear the young people concerned about their parents' jobs and their situation as far as like their future, immediate future, because it's going on now, but I don't hear enough to be able to talk about it.
So you're saying in terms of state workers, you don't even know which agencies basically are being affected and how it's going to be affecting the community? Is this also your concern?
I don't even know much. So does the membership, do the workers even know what's going on with what the decisions are being made and who's making them? And then so I feel like it concerns them. And so the workers should have some say, but if you have no information, then how are you going to be able to give your opinion? That's all I'm saying. It just seems like there's a lot of like just okay, just business as usual. And then when we see it in the paper, then I guess that's when we'll figure out things are happening. It's kind of do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I guess I'm not
because
clear.
A lot of this. State workers who are going to be affected are those who provide services to the community that are vital for the community during this time, like in terms of child care, in regards to services, mental health services. These are services that right now, during this time, our community needs.
Right.
And so you're saying we don't know what's happening to them, so how is it going to affect us?
Well, do they know what's happening to their situation?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Are they getting information? Are they even getting information?
So you're saying they need to be a little bit more visible and accountable in regards to the state and legislature, in regards to these state workers, as well as visible to the community.
I sure would like to hear from the workers and the people who are being affected, and I'd like to hear their side. But I don't know if there's a side.
Thank you. I know that I'm a moderator, and moderators are usually not supposed to make comments. But okay, I quit as moderator. I sit down as part of the group. Okay.
Mahalani, what do you think?
Well, thank you, Jerry. What do I think? Well, I think the county needs to look at the biotech technology that's happening here on the island. My concern, especially with the information that's ongoing, and especially with information that's coming from scientists who don't have a gag order placed on them by the FDA or the government. And that's in terms of scientifically exploring with these biotech corporations and their products. Unfortunately, my concern is by the time the information and the truth comes out about it, it's going to be too late. My concern is we don't even know that much enough about the technology. But apparently, the United States isn't really looking that far because they're the ones who are producing it and trying to basically sell it amongst the world. Unfortunately, there's other countries who've decided that, you know what, we're not going to take it at face value. We're going to do our own research, and they have done their own research. And when it comes down to it, I mean, research such as this type of technology affects the amino acid. And in turn, the amino acid in the soil, which is the basics of all life. And then they have found that it, in turn, had affected the earthworm. It's like if you're having these types of effect on a scientific level, and it's being discovered over in Europe, then shouldn't we look at what they're discovering? Because, you know, and they're putting out. But no, we're not doing that. Because why? This is the nursery. They have been given carte blanche to come here and test. Most of their testing isn't being looked at, and there's I'm sure there's violations going on, many violations going on. But here we have in our choice lands, our ag lands, and here they are going all over the place. My main concern is what happens when we find out somewhere down the line that it is dangerous to the environment. What will that mean to us? Will we have any hope for future? Or how long will this affect the soil? And then I go up, and when I go up to Waimea, I see them climbing halfway up my Waimea in terms of Koke'e. And then you've got the water. Ahupua'a, from Mauka to Makai, there are streams. And when they reach down below, that's where our nursery is. And many of our kupunas have testified that's where our ice box is. What effect, if it has an effect on the amino acid in the soil and therefore has an effect on the earthworm that lives there, what type of effect is it going to have on our ice box, our reefs, our fish, our food? So I'm saying, a lot of times I'm saying, help, CISO, help. You know, Kekua, help. I think the county needs to look at this real close, because it's all fine if we talk about ahupua'a, sustainability, but if we talk about something that you see outside across the street from Kukui Grove, across the street from the airport, going up halfway up the hill of Koke'e, over here, over there, and we see this all over the place, and we don't, as a community, all of Kauai, start looking at this under a microscope, then what Sharon said, oh, we don't want to read about in the paper, oh, contamination. Because what's that going to do to the tourist industry then? Oi. Cash cow out the door. But then so is our future out the door. Mahalo. Oh, Don has something to say? Okay.
Mahalo, Mahea. I agree with what you said, and there is abundant data in the journal review on the impacts of genetically engineered crops on not only on human health, but on soil contamination, water contamination. You have to realize that we're basically back to that dichotomy, greed versus aloha, knowledge versus ignorance. I could go on and on between those opposites. Akamai versus not. and what the reason all the genetic engineering companies are here is because nobody wants them in their backyard in 48 other states. That's why they're here. And but here's the solution, or actually more than one solution. We vote three times a day. every time we eat, we vote. Anybody that buys anything that says it has corn syrup in it or corn and it doesn't say organic, they are eating genetically engineered corn. So they're promoting it. If you don't read the labels, you're promoting it. Something that Jason said earlier, I want to, because I have to run to another meeting soon, mentioned, we know that all of our people are working double time. I have two full-time jobs. I would be working one of them until it's dark, but this was very important. And the younger people, and I assume, Jason, you're 20-something. Joshua, I'm sorry, forgive me. 20-something. That group virtually doesn't vote. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm throwing this out, Joshua. We got to get everyone in your generation from Hyena to Makaweli to vote, because the revolution we're in right now is a political one. And we need to paddle the canoe the right way. We all got to paddle it together. So back to genetic engineered crops. One way we can do it is through what we eat. Make sure we don't cater to them. I'm purposely not going to the fair because Monsanto is sponsoring the fair this year. And I'm a Farm Bureau member. I'm not going. We, the power of one, the choices we make. If nobody went, what would happen? I'm not saying don't go. I'm just saying I'm not going for that reason. The other one is that we need to get all of our brothers and sisters that like to grow good heirloom sweet corn to start growing it. Make sure it's certified organic. If it gets contaminated, we file a class action lawsuit against you-know-who. We fight fire with fire. That's what they've done. And we already have an attorney that'll take on the case, gratis. Lastly, this issue about, I lost it, had to do with Alaska. Things you brought up about building codes. We could go on all night on that, from needing to have single wall buildings out of invasive hardwoods that are found all over this island, like satin leaf with his Chrysophyllum oliviformis. It's harder than teak, and it grows everywhere here if you know where it is. And it's so hard termites can't eat it. If we could build post and beam single wall houses, we could build tens of thousands of them tomorrow. But it wouldn't fulfill the code. You're going to have double wall in many cases. So we need to go back and look at a lot of these old unsustainable things. Why do we need double wall housing here in Hawaii? We don't.
Okay. Aloha, everyone. My name is Waldine Palmera. I just came to listen. I heard it on the radio on Saturday. I wasn't really totally aware of the purpose and everything, so I'm really just here to listen and observe. Thank you for this opportunity to introduce myself. Mahalo.
Would anybody like to add anything else before we go?
I don't know if I can correctly answer, you know, Joan's question about what's happening with the state workers, and maybe Don can, but we have staff meetings every morning, and we do get updates from our personnel department and the county attorney, basically on when they have to go to Oahu to be part of the negotiations. I think unless you're actually sitting in those rooms behind closed doors, they're the only ones that really know what's going on. From what I can understand is, you know, when the governor came out with her plan on the furloughs, obviously that wasn't accepted by the unions. And so now you're looking at layoffs, and what's happening now is they're negotiating behind closed doors. It's very heart-wrenching, very emotional for, you know, not only the state workers, but for everybody else involved, because we don't know, you know. My understanding is if and when the layoffs start taking place, then there's what they call bumping. You know, I guess it depends on seniority and everything. So so you'll have, you know, our own state workers, I mean, their own Ohana will be bumping each other, which doesn't help the situation any. But that's as much as I know, and I just wanted to share that. So even though, you know, I'm in government, and one would think that I have an inside track or inside knowledge, I know just as much as you. And like I said, until somebody in those closed door meetings, you know, can come forward, which I believe that's part of the situation, because they're still in negotiations, that much of the information remains behind those closed doors.
Thank you, George. Yeah, you said it very well, and I know that the Hawaii Government Employees Association is having what they call swim meetings all towards the end of this month statewide, and it's to bring state employees up to date on what's going on. And I'm not going to repeat what George said. You said it very well. There's going to be people not only within departments that get bumped, but between departments. And the irony of this my parents always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything else at all. So all I'll say is, when you have a governor like Linda Lingle that spends 40 plus million on harbor improvements that we're never going to use, I could go on and on. It continues from her being mayor on Maui. But what's going to happen when this is all done and the dust clears? There will be so many people that not only lose their jobs, lose their house. The kids won't be able to go through college because they won't be able to afford the payment. The economic repercussions of this will be orders of magnitude worse than what it is now. It'll make it worse. Someone that works for the county sent me a little note that was in Hawaii Business News that said the number one employee in the state of Hawaii is the state of Hawaii. And that economic magnifier is almost unmeasurable in the state. When really, if we all we need to do, now, I would vote yes on this. Some of you might not like this. But we need to raise taxes. But we need to do it on a level tax, a flat tax. Let's say we all pay 3% now. This is just for discussion purposes. Let's jump it up to 5%, whatever, just a slight increase. So if I made, theoretically, hypothetically, if I made $13,000 a year, 3% of that would be $3,900. If sister here made $3 million a year, she would pay 5% of that. What would that be? $3 million. $300,000 would be $150,000 she would pay. And so a flat tax is absolutely the most equitable. If somebody made $5, they spend a dollar in taxes. Somebody make $5 million, they give a million in. And we could get out of this real quick. But I don't remember exactly what Linda Lingle wrote when she had her 5 points of light economic recovery. You remember that? It was totally bogus. It was throw it out the window because it ain't going to work. There was nothing about relocalization, trying to become food, fiber, and energy self-sufficient. If we just do those things, we will keep $10 billion a year in our economy. Also, when we go back, I think it was in 2002 in Harper Magazine, I forget the guy's name, but he was the chairman of the economics department at either Harvard or Yale. And he wrote a paper in Harper's called The House Trap, The Collapse of the U.S. Real Estate Industry. Wrote it in 2002, years before it happened. How did he know that? Basic economics. You can't do what we were doing. It was unsustainable. This guy knew it. He teaches economics at a major college. And he wrote it in a popular magazine. Obviously, not very many people read it because there are over 150,000 foreclosures and rising. And this, Linda's, what she's doing with the RIF, the reduction in force, will make it even worse. So, you know, it's like Albert Einstein said in 1937, you can't solve today's problems with the same thinking that created them. We got to get out of the box and think, ask different questions. How can we stimulate our socio-economic and cultural well-being? There's a question that we need to answer. I think I could answer that. If I could be governor for the day, I'd have a ball. And I'd change a lot of laws. That's probably all I could stomach is one day of that job. But, we just have to get back by adopting the traditional integrated watershed resource management where it's true democracy. The people in that watershed decide who's going to lead them, and everybody paddles the canoe the same direction. Even though somebody might not be overwhelmed and jumping up and down wanting to do it, they might say, okay, I think it'll work, so I'll go along with it. That's a consensus. We just got to get back in the canoe and paddle it the right way.
I think Marge had a few comments she wanted to make, yeah?
Yes, please. Hi, thank you. I wanted to address some things that Don Hecock brought up. I know that single wall houses can be constructed on Kauai. I have three of them on my property. I've built two of them myself with my husband's help. You don't need to be a licensed contractor to build a home here. You can do it yourself. And if you need engineering, you will have to go to a licensed architect to get the engineering so that your building plans will be approved by the building department. But it's a very simple process. And I think what's happened to all of us, not just here on Kauai, but I've lived long enough in my life to realize that even people of my generation don't have a clue how to survive. They really don't. And the younger generations, I feel very sad about because they're worse off. There are very few people who know how to cook three square meals a day. There are very few people who know how to buy really healthy, inexpensive food and make really good menus that their children will eat that are healthy and won't cost a fortune. The I, me, mine generation, I think, is at a loss for how to be a part of a total community and to form huis to help one another. I don't know how we can address this issue because it has been so permeating for so many years all around the world, if you stop and think about it. More and more people are getting ill from eating lousy food or no food at all because they can't afford it. They don't know how to even hang up their clothes in the sun instead of putting things in an electric or gas clothes dryer. I live in a community of just 12 residences around me. My daughter and I are the only people who hang our clothes up in the sun. Everyone else uses a clothes dryer. Now, this makes no sense to me at all. Not only does it waste our resources, but it's expensive. And if you don't have the money because you're losing your job, why are you using a clothes dryer? why are you going to the store 7 days a week instead of only once a week and cutting down on gas mileage? There's so many things that we can do to increase our health here. For instance, Don was talking about, and others have talked about, growing and becoming sustainable with our ag lands. There are many, many people on this island who know how to teach others how to do this, from planting just common vegetables that we're all aware of to an amazing amount of edible trees that could be planted here. And we could sustain ourselves just on trees if push comes to shove. Think about our coconuts and how the oil from the coconuts can be the biofuel for our cars and our manufacturing machines. How easy it is to grow cocoa trees here, and how easy it is to extract the oil. It could become a major, major business for a lot of people here. And I'm sure there are other plants that can grow here. Who's the famous actor? Oh, God. He was on the Larry King Show years ago talking about a plant that grows in saltwater flats, and it can be used for so many things. I can't think of the name of it, but I always felt that Kekaha side would be a perfect place to grow this plant. And I can get more information about that, and I think Don Heacock would be very interested in that. It's unbelievable, as Don says. All the information is out there. We, as concerned citizens, really need to stop talking about stuff and actually doing. So we've got the energy going, and thank KKCR. I like Joan Heller's suggestions that putting out more information on our radio stations, not just KKCR, but all the other radio stations and television, our Hawaii station, I think is a really excellent way to educate people and get us all motivated to work together to solve our problems. Thank you.
I said I was only going to listen, but I guess not. you know, I find it very interesting that we're talking about going back to the Ahupua'a system. You know, in my class, I teach about Hawaiian culture, and one of the things that we talk about is stereotypes. And when we talk about Hawaiians, the first thing that everybody says is they're lazy. That's a stereotype. It's a stereotype. It's not true, but it's a stereotype. And the reason for it is because when I ask them, well, why do you think that Hawaiians are lazy, they say, well, you know, back in the olden days, all they did was farm and fish and have a good time. Okay. So I find it very interesting now that we want to go back to the Ahupua'a system. I think that's great, but it's going to be very, very hard because we have become so colonized. Our people, the Kanaka Maoli, have become so colonized, it's very hard to go back to that Ahupua'a system. And as much as they would love to go back to that, they have to live paycheck to paycheck. It sounds really great, but they ask me, Kumu, how am I going to do that? How are we ever going to go back to an Ahupua'a system if I'm living paycheck to paycheck, if I'm struggling to survive? Yes, it's really great to, you know, want to eat organic food, but I can barely afford a can of corn. So, you know, the people that hold the knowledge of going back to the Ahupua'a system, the Kanaka Maoli, they can't do it. They are trying to take care of their family, take care of their children, take care of their kupuna. So it is encouraging for me to hear that other people want to do that. So hopefully we can find a way as a community to, you know, paipai, to encourage all the people, everybody here on Kauai, to go back to the old ways, to live a sustainable life. So, you know, I hope that one day we can do that. So thank you, you know, KKCR, for bringing this to my attention. It should be interesting this coming semester to talk about these types of things, and hopefully my students will want to come to these meetings.
Mahalo.
Yeah, actually,
I was just mentioning to Mahalani during the break, this is our third meeting, and is a very common theme that's emerging out of all three meetings, and that is almost everyone is focused on the realization that Kauai needs to become self-sustaining once again. And if we're self-sustaining, then we don't have all those costs associated with shipping stuff in and all the costs associated with shipping stuff out and all the costs associated with oil having to power everything from our cars to our power to our which powers our water pumps that gives us our water. So it's been really eye-opening for me to see what is emerging is this common thought that we need to really become self-sustaining. And of course, if you think about it, if we're self-sustaining, it doesn't matter what happens in the economy outside of Kauai, because we're all taking, we're all taking care of each other and ourselves here.
Jerry, that brings a good point, and I don't know how many people got to join into the Ag Forum, to the Food Sustainability Conference that happened at Chiefest back in March, but my friend Sandy, in conjunction with many others, we used all of the organic produce from Moloa'a, and we fed 250 people or thereabouts with our Ulu Bake. We had a vegan one and a non-vegan one using the goat cheese and coconut milk for the non-vegan. We made a sweet potato salad with the purple sweet potatoes and a banana chutney aioli and all the tossed greens. And Patricia Hempy made a beautiful chili pepper vinaigrette. This can be done. And I don't think too many people would have a problem with it. It's an awful lot of fun and it's an awful lot of work. But when there's no jobs and no money, that's all we're going to be able to do. And we can do it. We're already doing it.
I tried a lot of that food. It was new to me, but it was ono.
Well, and along those lines, it was I discovered something interesting. I was on a flight to Honolulu and back on Saturday, and I was reading in Hanaho, I think it was in Hanaho magazine, or maybe it was in Hawaii Business, but I think it was Hanaho, an article on breadfruit, and a single plant can produce up to 400 pounds of food a year. Well, that's over a pound a day from one plant. And it's so versatile, you can do so much with it. And so that was a real eye-opener for me. It's like, whoa, I got to get me one of those.
And right here on our island, we have Diane Ragone, who's the world expert for breadfruit. She has a website, and I believe she even has a cookbook, and they're very easy to grow.
Yeah, I needed to comment after your comment. I respect what you said. And I believe that there is a lot of room for a lot of people to participate in the development of, of what can become sustainability and so forth for Kanaka Maoli. It is an important time in our history. There has been a lot of development over the past 20, 25 years. It's not. It hasn't been done by other people. We've had a lot of support by other people, but it is a Kanaka Maoli movement that started. It has begun. It is true that there are a lot of obstacles. There's a lot of people that work many jobs, and so forth. But to leave it to other people is not what I feel is at the heart of it. And there are a lot of political, social, cultural, spiritual, historical complexities that's involved, and so hopefully there are organizations that that will at the right times work together with Native Hawaiian organizations as well as individuals in different ahupua'a, but it should remain Hawaiian. We shouldn't take an ahupua'a system to mean something different. Maybe that's okay for some people, but for us, we do have a tradition that has been in existence for a very long time, and to go back to some of those, to connect our generations today and in the future to who they are has always been at the heart of the movement, and starting with language and culture and so forth. And that's why at the moment we are looking at, well, one issue, and which I've been involved with, concerns the bike path on Wailua Beach. And that is a traditional, historical, significant area, not only today and in the past, but for the future. It is a cultural zone, the beach. It's sacred. This area deserves the recognition that it actually is afforded by the National Historic Register. It is one of the most significant sites in all of Hawaii'i, and it needs to be respected and used appropriately. And so this is part of the reason why we are opposed to the development of Wailua Beach, and because it means a lot to the continuity of our culture. It means a lot that our grandchildren will be able to experience a natural beach in the future, that we can have use those grounds for fishing, for spiritual learning, cultural learning in these areas that were already designated for these purposes. And so, like I said in the beginning, there's a lot of complexities, and to reconnect Native Hawaiian people with Native traditional areas can only be a benefit to the entire community. So, mahalo nui.
Mahalo. I want to thank everyone for coming out today to KCC for the third Be Heard Town Hall meetings. On behalf of KKCR, we'd like to thank George again for joining us. And I'd also like to thank Louis Kabibi for being here and sharing with us all these times and getting the message out through Ho'ike. Mahalo.